Good morning. Welcome to the new Masechta, Sukkah Daf Beis. Masechta Sukkah is made up of five prakim. The first two prakim deal with the mitzvah of Sukkah itself. The third prak is going to deal with the mitzvah of Lulav and the other minim, Hadas, Meravus, and Esrog. And then the fourth and fifth prak are going to be describing Sukkahs in the Beis HaMikdash. There is a very, very deep connection between the Yontov of Sukkah and the Beis HaMikdash, and special halachas that come up, and that is going to be described in the last two parakim of our Masechta. As a primer, we're all familiar with the fact that the mitzvah of Sukkah, so there are two mitzvahs, right? If we can just make everything nice and simple, in Rosh Hashanah there's one mitzvah, and Pesach there's one mitzvah. On Shavuos, there are no mitzvos. And so on Sukkot, there are two mitzvos. But obviously, the two mitzvos require explanations in terms of all the details of the mitzvos. Two mitzvos of Sukkot is one, Yeshiva B'Sukkah. So we are to leave our homes and go into a temporary dwelling. And the other mitzvah, the second mitzvah, of course, is to take Dal HaMinim. Now, that is clearly an oversimplification. There are other things to be done in Sukkah, especially in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But once we unfortunately left the arena of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's basically it. That's the mitzvah of Sukkah. And so over the course of this Masechta, we're going to be following these two mitzvahs. Now, these two mitzvahs are not connected one with another. I'm talking just right now Pashtus. Of course, I'm sure there are deep connections between them. But just on the simple level, they are not connected one with another. In other words, you could do the mitzvah of Sukkah without the mitzvah of Dal HaMinim. You could do the mitzvah of Dal HaMinim without the mitzvah of Sukkah. Okay, there is a minhag, and I see by the Sfardim, they strongly adhere to such a minhag, in which they take the Dal HaMinim and they bring it into the Sukkah. But, okay, that's based on more esoteric teachings. But Kipshuto, the two mitzvahs, of course, they're two independent mitzvahs, not interdependent. Not one connected with the other. Okay. And without further ado, let's begin. So we are now going to be talking here in the beginning of our Masechta of the Mitzvah of Sukkah. The first parak is going to be dealing really with mostly the structure of the Sukkah. So obviously a structure of a Sukkah, it's really simple. There is height, there is length, there is width. There's also material in terms of what you can use. But right now we're going to be dealing with dimensions. Our entire daf today, and really the beginning of the Masechta, is going to be dealing with the dimensions of the sukkah. It's really simple, and that is, what are the dimensions of the sukkah? We're going to talk about minimums. We're going to talk about maximums. Okay. Just one more general point before we begin with the actual parak itself, and that is the term sukkah. The term sukkah is a description of the entire structure. So I will show you two times today. Rashi says it twice in today's daf that the sukkah really is going on the schach. In fact, the word schach, you could actually see the word sukkah in schach. In fact, Rashi is insistent twice today that when the Torah says that we have to go into the sukkah, in terms of what the Torah is really focusing on is the covering, right? The roof, if you will, right? That is the essence of the sukkah. The walls are just simply in hechitimsa. Meaning that in order for schach to lay on top of us, so obviously it needs to be supported, otherwise known as walls. Now, there are halachas regarding the walls, which we're going to see together as well. But in terms of what has a shem sukkah, so what has a shem sukkah is the schach itself. Okay, I've heard this. It's a beautiful idea. I think Rav Hirsch gets credit for this idea, but regardless, you know that on sukkah, so a lot of times in the Haftarahs, so we're reading about Gog and Magog. Okay, so Armageddon, oddly enough, becomes like a theme of Sukkot. Okay, it's at least one, but could be even two Haftarahs that we read on Sukkot. So deal with Melchamas Gog and Magog, right? This impending destruction of the world that's going to come in some future time. Okay, understandably, not the most enticing idea. But nevertheless, however, those who are going to be destroying the world are labeled as Gog and Magog. If you look in the word Gog and Magog, so what do you see? Of course, it's the word Gog, and you see a roof. And so, in contradistinction to the Gog, so what we have is Sukkah. So, and sukkah obviously by definition is going to be something which is temporary and flimsy and you can see through it. There's going to be a toast, so I'll make note of it a little bit later on. Like, the schach, it has to be temporary. Meaning that if it rains, so your sukkah has to be built in a manner in which the rain's got to get through the roof. In other words, so we are believers of schach, meaning that, we have a deep connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that which separates us is nothing really, just a couple of twigs, a couple of leaves. And meanwhile, when it comes to the Umas HaOlam specifically, those that look to destroy the world, so they are their gog, their rooftop. In other words, they create a mechitza separating them from Avinu Shebe Shamayim. Okay, I think Rav Hirsch gets credit for that idea. But anyway, without further ado, let's get underway. Sukkah Shigavola Malamaser Ma'ama Psula. So if your sukkah is higher than 20 amos, it will be no good. It will be disqualified sukkah. Rav Yehuda Machshir. Rav Yehuda accepts it, meaning he would say that it could be higher than 20 amos. Vishena Gavola Asar Tfachim. So that was the maximum. Now the minimum. If it's less than 10 tfachim, so that's not good, that would be possible. Vishein la gimel defanos, if it doesn't have three walls, it would be possible. Vishchamta meruba mitzilsa. Now, if the schach is such a thin layer of schach where you have more sun than shade that's going in, that's going through the schach, psula would be disqualified as well. As I mentioned, Rashi in the Mishnah, the last Rashi in the Mishnah. So he writes over here, va'al shem haschach karisuka. Meaning on the halacha that you need more shade than schach, you need more shade than sunlight, so because you need schach, and the whole reason why the sukkah is called the sukkah is because of the schach. Good. Right, as promised. That's the first time Rashi mentions in today's daf. It'll come again in just a moment. If we could just wrap our heads around these dimensions over here. So right now we've only been talking about the vertical, and just a little bit later this morning, so we're going to be talking about the length and the width, but right now we're just talking about the height. Can we just get an idea, a sense of what we're talking about over here in terms of heights? So in terms of maximum height, so 20 amas is really tall, right? So an amas in anywhere within the range of a foot and a half to 2 feet. Let's just to make our life simple in the math, although it's not so hard with a foot and a half, but we're talking about a 40-foot sukkah. 40-foot sukkah, that's a sukkah that's four stories high. Okay, that is, just from a vertical standpoint, that's enormous. Our sukkahs don't come close. So if you go to visit any of the Hasidim by sukkahs and you take a look at their sukkahs, so Bubov and Bar Park, so it's under 40 feet, but you know they have sukkahs that you know that are of you know these kinds of dimensions. But we're not going to be getting a sukkah that's going to be over 20 amos high. That is really, really tall. Okay. In terms of the minimum height, again, just to wrap our head around the numbers that we're talking about over here, 10 tefachim is close to nothing, right? A tefach is anywhere between 3 to 4 inches. Again, let's just say 4 inches. Okay. It's not, I'm not understanding. We're just understanding right now. I'm not giving any psak. So a tefach is 4 inches. So you're talking about, 4 times 10. It's 40 inches. 40 inches off the ground. Yeah, 40 inches off the ground is 3 feet, right? Approximately. 3 feet approximately. So in order for you to get into a sukkah of 3 feet, obviously, can't stand, right? You gotta lie down in such a structure. So these dimensions, just giving us a good way to think about, like, what are we talking about in terms of the height, the maximum and the minimum. Okay. Tanan. Seemingly, there's no limit for Rav Yehuda.
No limit.
That's what it would seem like. The Gemara is going to be discussing that a little bit later on, not today's stuff. Okay, Tanan Hassam. Okay, so hopefully you remember, this is now in Seder Moed, so we've already gone through Masechta Erevin. Now, I know that's a long time ago, and I know it's a lot of Gemara Erevin, but nevertheless, the discussion in the beginning of Erevin is verbatim our discussion over here in the midst of Sukkah, in that we have a halacha where there is a limit to how high it could be. So one is the schach of a sukkah, and number two is the korah of a mavui. And they both have, according to the Tanakhama, of each of the Mishnahs respectively, the first Mishnah of the sukkah and the first Mishnah of Erevin, they each have a maximum height of 20 amos. The Gemara is going to note that when the Mishnah over there presents that halacha, so it says a little bit differently than our halacha over here in terms of what you should do. What does our Mishnah say you should do? Well, we know what you should do, and that, of course, is lower the schach, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just simply says it's pasul, psula. And the Mishnah in Erevin says that if your kora is more than 20 amas high, so yimat, so you lower it. And so the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. So interesting over there, the Mishnah brings down the same achlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda in terms of a maximum height for the kora. So Rav Yehuda does not have a maximum height, but regardless, but of course it's strange that over there in Erevin, it tells us how to correct and rectify. That's the Takanta. Over here in Sukkah, it just simply says Psula. Now, obviously, if you were to lower it, so then it would be good. But meanwhile, our Mishnah doesn't say lower it. Our Mishnah says it's Pasul. So why over here does it say Psula? Why over there does it say Yimat? So the Gemara is going to give answers. Just so, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to prolong this discussion. But just as a quick reminder, what's a kora by the mavui, and for that matter, what's a mavui? So this is not the time to discuss it in any kind of depth. But just to say it as succinctly as I can, Rashi's beautiful. Rashi's always beautiful. But Rashi over here is beautiful because Rashi really it gives us an entire primer of mavui and kora, and Rashi does so in just a short couple of sentences. He really is a master in terms of imparting information in a really succinct fashion. The idea behind a mavui is that it is a, right, you're going to always see the term alleyway. It's just in terms of our modern understanding of an alleyway, it's not a great way to describe it. But anyway, the idea is that you have houses that are connected to a chatzar. The chatzar then is connected to a mavui, and the mavui then opens up into a street, into Rishus HaRabim. This mavui is circumscribed by three walls. It therefore is a Rishus HaYachid. And now there are two issues that need correction. One, even though it's a Rishus HaYachid, it's a Rishus HaYachid shared by different homeowners. Not only shared by different homeowners, shared by different courtyards. So, in order to be able to carry in the mavui, what we need is unification, otherwise known as an eruv, right? And the eruv that's by the mavui just goes by a different name. It's called shituf mavos. But okay, so that means to say that every member of the courtyard needs to make a contribution of either bread or wine, and then it's going to be collected and put into one of the courtyards. Doesn't matter who, but one of the courtyards that open up into this mavui. That's one correction that it needs. The second correction that it needs is that because it's opened up into a Rishus HaRabim, even though the mavui itself is a Rishus HaYachid, but its opening to the Rishus HaRabim gives people at least the perception, the impression that it too is a Rishus HaRabim. It's not, but it gives that impression. So what we're going to do is that the Chachamim told us to make a demarcation at the entrance of the mavui so that people understand that this is not the Rishus HaRabim. And it could be done in one of two ways. Either lechi, that is a vertical pole placed on the side of the mavui as it opens up into the Rishus HaRabim, or kora, a horizontal beam that goes across the mavui. So basically the kora now is going to serve either as, the Gemara over there in Erevin has two possibilities, either as a heker or as a mechitza. It serves to remind everybody, or somehow halachically that small beam that goes across is going to be viewed as a wall. Either way, so we're right now talking about the kora. I know the Mishnah doesn't use the word kora, but the Mishnah over there assumes that we knew all this information, and the word mavi over there is just simply a reference to a kora. Okay, good. That was a crash course in mavui. But anyway, let's just reset the question. Over here by Sukkah, it says pasul, psula. Over there in Erevin, it says yima, lower it. Why over here? Just simply disqualification. Why over there is it helpful and tells us what to do? And by Sukkah, of course we know what to do, but what's the difference in the language? So the Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. I'm just rereading the question. Answers the Gemara. Sukkah d'oraisa tini psula. Mavui d'rabbana tini takanta. Well, the mitzvah of Sukkah, of course, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah of mavui is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic requirement. And so when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah, which is d'oraisa, so the Mishnah is telling us pasul. When it comes to the mitzvah d'rabbanan of mavui, the Mishnah is going to help us in terms of what to do and how to correct it. What's the difference between whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So there are a lot of ways to say it, but I'm going to present Rashi this morning. And Rashi says it's like this. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah and it's d'oraisa, what does that mean? It means that we've had this information with us for a really long time. Even at the writing of the Mishnah, We had this information for upwards of 1,000 years, right? Torah was given to us 3,300 years ago. So when at the time of the writing of the Mishnah, which is approximately 1,000 years later, approximately. So they knew that a sukkah cannot be over above 20 amos. So already at this point in time, the Mishnah is basically saying, here's something that we all knew now for a long time already. And that is, it's simply no good. Psula. But when it comes to the, to Mavoi and Korah and Lechi, so these are rabbinic institutions. That means, and this is Rashi's language, that at the time of the writing of the Mishnah, so we're hearing this for the first time. Now, I understand that historically, that's not super or seemingly super accurate, but what you could say, Rashi doesn't make this detail. What you could say that, of course, is that the Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi presents it, it's not the first time that the Mishnah is being said over. The Mishnah could be a Masorah, right? We know that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, more of an editor than an author. And so it could be that this Mishnah has been around for some time. Okay. You could say something along those lines. Regardless, the point is that the Korah is a more recent institution and a more recent development. So therefore, the Mishnah is understanding that, hey, this is new. So if it's above 20 amos, so what you're going to do is lower it, because now this is the quote-unquote first time that we're hearing about this. So that's why the Mishnah is softer, gentler, and telling us what to do. That's the way Rashi explains it. For more on the difference between Daraisa Darabanan and Daraisa, it says Psula, and by Darabanan it says Takanta. So see Tosus for not just one more pshat, but two more pshatim. Okay, that's one explanation. Ebi, Sam, the Gemara says, I'll give you another explanation. Bid Daraisa Nami Tani Takanta. No, by Daraisa's, the Mishnah would have been happy, would have been fine telling us how to correct and how to rectify. However, over here, it's just a logistic issue. Miyusuka de nefisha mili pasik vitani psula mavidulo nefish mili tani takanta. It just happens to be that over here in our Mishnah, how many halachas did we go over in our Mishnah? A lot. Maximum height of the sukkah, minimum height of the sukkah, the number of walls that we need around the sukkah, the shade of the sukkah. So there are a lot of halachas. So in order for the Mishnah to be as succinct as possible, so the Mishnah can encapsulate all these halachas with one word, psula. Meaning, obviously, the Mishnah phrases all these halachas in a manner in which you did it incorrectly. But then at the end of the Mishnah, now the Mishnah can give a one-word description of every one of these halachas. And that, of course, is psula. What's the benefit of doing so? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says that Yishana Adam Latamido Derech Ketzara. Be brief. Try to make everything as concise as possible. And so that's why the Mishnah prefers this concise language of psula. On the other hand, the Mishnah in Erevin, the first Mishnah in Erevin, is only dealing with one halacha. So if it's only dealing with one halacha, so we haven't lost in terms of brevity. The Mishnah over there could say the word yimat, it's one word, and it's the same as saying psula. Now the Mishnah over there chose yimat because it's helpful. It tells us what to do. Over here, our Mishnah would love to say the word yimat, but there are other halachas in our Mishnah, and now if you want to give us a rectification of every one of the cases of the Mishnah, so now you're going to need a lot more words. Psula is succinct. Good. Adkan, that is the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding the comparison between the Lashon of the Mishnah by Sukkah and the Lashon of the Mishnah of Mavui. And now we continue. Menahani Mili. For the rest of our first Amma today, so we're going to find Svara. Meaning the Mishnah said categorically, according to the Chachamim, that your Sukkah cannot be greater than 20 Amas high. Why not? Great. It's a simple question. And so the Gemara now is going to be giving Svara. Not just Svara, but three different Svaras of why that should be. So Menani Mili Amar Rabba. So we start with Shitas Rabba. Amar Kar Laman Yidu Dorasech and Kipa Sukkah Sorshaftis Bnei Yisrael. So in Parshas Emor, the Torah says that you're going to be sitting in a Sukkah. Why? Laman Yidu, so that you should know. Dorasech and for future generations, Kipa Sukkah Sorshaftis Bnei Yisrael. That when you went to the Midbar for 40 years, so what I do, I put you in Sukkahs. Now, what does that mean, I put you in Sukkahs? So we're going to see later in our Masechta. Around Daf Chavav, Chav Zayin, a Machlokas HaTanayim, what exactly that means. What are we supposed to remind ourselves of when we're sitting in the Sukkah? Happens to be that Rashi in today's Daf twice focuses on the Anane HaKavod, but then happens to be one opinion. There are two opinions over there. It's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer says it's Anane HaKavod. Rabbi Kiva says Sukkos Mamish, where to remind ourselves of the actual Sukkos that we lived in during the Midbar. When we get to the machlokas, we'll discuss in more detail what exactly for Rabbi Akiva. Why does that require a memory? Right, Rabbi Elazar's position is a lot easier to understand, meaning the fact that there were clouds that were surrounding us and protecting us. Right, understandably, that's a huge deal. Right, we don't even begin to process that idea. I mean, we try to. I mean, that's the whole idea of sukkahs. But meanwhile, that's the pasuk. So laman yedu. Now, as Rashi here points out, so of course the pasuk shot of the pasuk is that when you're in the sukkah, remember what the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us in the midbar. That's a simple pshat. But now, according to Rabbah, we're going to go beyond the simple pshat. Now we're going to go one step further. And that is, Ad Esra Mama, Adam Yodea Shudar B'Sukkah, Lamala Me'Esra Mama, Ein Adam Yodea Shudar B'Sukkah, Mishim Tlo Shalta Be'enei. So a halacha now is being generated from this pasuk, notably, the maximum height of the schach. If your schach is above 20 amas, you simply are not aware of it. Now, obviously, you can look up and you could see it, but just as you are in such a structure where the roof is so high, so you just simply are not cognizant. There's not this constant awareness that there's something over your head. So in other words, the Yediyah now is telling us that there has to be a constant awareness. How is this constant awareness? It has to be below a certain maximum. It has to be below 20 amas. Anything above 20 amas, lo shalta be'enei. You're just simply not gonna see it. Now, again, seeing it over here means you're not gonna be aware of it if it's higher than 20 amas. Okay, that's the sheet of Rabbah, so that's as far. That there needs to be a Yediyah. Rabbi Zera Amar Mehacha, Rabbi Zera derives it from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, V'sukkah tiyelas el yomam. Now, the pasuk in context is talking about Yemos HaMashiach. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for us is he's going to provide for us a cell, a shade. And, I'm sorry, V'sukkah yetiyel et zel yomam mechorev. So, Ad Esra Mama Adem Yoshev et zel sukkah, Lamala Me'asra Mama, Ein Adem Yoshev et zel sukkah, Ela et zel defanos. And so, if your sukkah is 20 amas high, is under 20 amas high, so that which is providing the shade now is going to be the schach. If your sukkah is above 20 amas high, so what is providing shade for you? Not the schach, but rather the walls. The sun is never directly overhead. The sun is always going to be on an incline. Even at midday, the sun is going to be at an incline. And so therefore, if your sukkah is really tall, so you're no longer under the shade of the schach, but now you're under the shade of the walls. Now, obviously, right, I said it like it's like really simple and really easy. Obviously, there are a lot of factors involved. The sun, in the morning, the sun in the in the late afternoon is always going to be, the shade is always going to be created by the walls. So obviously when we're talking about, I need the shade of the schach, so it's during the day, you're not, even on a kosher sukkah, you're not always going to get the shade of the schach. You're sometimes going to get the shade of the wall. But over here, we're talking about establishing dimensions. And in terms of the establishment of a dimension, so I guess we're looking at the sun midday, and still it's going to come in an incline, and therefore once your sukkah is higher than 20 amos, so then you're not going to get the schach, the shade of the sun. Now, even as I say that, the Gemara in Amud Beis today is going to acknowledge: what if you make your sukkah really wide? What if now the length and the width of the sukkah are extraordinarily wide? So even if your sukkah is higher than 20 amos, you still can get some of the shade of the sun. So on the Amud Beis of today's daf, the Gemara is going to acknowledge that. For now, however, let's just keep it simple. Good. So Amar Le'Abai, so now, according to Rebbe Zera, the reason why the schach cannot be above 20 amos is because I need the shade of the schach. So Amar Le'Abai, so Abai challenges Rebbe Zera, Elamiata, Hoseh Sukkah, Basharos, Karnaim, Hachinami, Delo, Havi Sukkah. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you build your sukkah between two mountains, or in a more modern setting, let's say you build your sukkah right up against your house, right? A lot of us do it. And our houses are tall. And now where's the shade coming from? The shade is being provided by the mountains, by the houses. And you're going to tell me that now such a sukkah is no good? So I'm really, how some dala ashtaros can I make itself sukkah? Hachadal defanos lake itself sukkah. So the response of Rabbi Zera is very simple. And that is that look, if it happens to be that your sukkah abuts a really tall structure, a mountain, a building, so yes, it's true. Of course, the mountain is blocking the sun. But that doesn't take away from the kashrus of the sukkah. The sukkah still, if the mountains were not there, the sukkah would be providing shade for you from the schach. However, if your sukkah is so tall, so it doesn't matter now what you do with the sukkah, the shade is being provided by the walls, not by the schach. Meaning basically, That's an external issue. Look at the internal nature of the sukkah. There always is going to be some shade provided by the walls. Always. Correct. Agreed. Rava Amar Me'acha, Rava says the following. This is now going to be our third explanation of our Mishnah of what is the Tama Davar. Why can't the Schach be above 20 Amos? Rava Amar Me'acha B'sukkos Teishu Shivas Yamim. So you're going to be sitting in a sukkah for 7 days. Amar Torah Kol Shivas Yamim. Say Medeiros Keva, V'shev Medeiros Arai. So the instructions are as follows. Leave your permanent structure where you live year round and go into a temporary dwelling. So on Esra Mama, Adam Osa Dirasa Dirasa Rai Lamala Esra Mama, Ein Adam Osa Dirasa Dirasa Rai La Diras Keva. And if your Skach is now above 20 Amos, so you are not, that you can, can't be a temporary dwelling. There is no way that you could just slap together a couple of boards together, you know, a couple of nails, and then all of a sudden now, okay, good, we'll make a framework of a structure that's more than 40 feet tall, it by definition is going to be, have to be a diras keva. It's going to be a permanent structure. So therefore, what the Torah wants from us is that by definition, it's got to be a temporary structure. Therefore, it's got to be under 20 amos. Amalei Abai, so Abai says, wait 1 second. Let me ata semechitza shel barzel v'sichach gaban hachinami de lo havi sukkah. So let's say you make your sukkah below 20 amos, but it happens to be that you make it out of metal beams. In other words, it is now the best structure in the world in terms of its sturdiness, in terms of its permanence. And now what do you want to tell me? Now you want to tell me that that sukkah would be no good because that's the dearest keva? So Amalei, so again, the response over here is as follows. Amalei hachi kaminalach. Here's what I'm telling you. Ad chafam adadamosa dirasa dirasa rai ki avid le dearest keva naminafa. Look, at least under 20 amos, you could make it a dearest arai. So lamalam chafam adadamosa dirasa dirasa keva ki avid le dearest arai namilo nafa. But when it comes to above 20 amos, you don't have a choice. By definition, the only way structurally it will be able to stand is only if it's permanent. Okay. So basically, it has to have the potential of being a diras arai, not that it actually has to have a diras arai. In summary of the three opinions in our Mishnah, three opinions in the Gemara, in terms of explaining the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so now the halach is that your sukkah, the schach, cannot be above 20 amos. Why not? So either because Rabbah, Laman Yedu, you need to have a Yedi, you need to be aware. Above 20 Amos, you're simply no longer aware of the Schach above you. According to Rabbi Zeira, you need the shade of the Schach. Above 20 Amos, you're no longer receiving the shade of the Schach, but rather the shade of the walls. And Rava says that it has to be a temporary structure. And anything above 20 Amos, by definition, cannot be a temporary structure. So those are the three Svaras amongst the Amoraim in terms of an explanation of the Chachamim. Amud Beis. Now, three different opinions. Why didn't each Amara go with the other Amara's viewpoint? And Gemara goes on to explain, Kula Karabba lo Amre, the other two Amaraim were not happy with Rabba, because how Yedila Darasu? Because that's not the Pasha Pshad, the Pasuk in Amor. The Pasuk is talking about the idea that we're supposed to remember the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in the Midbar by giving us the Anane HaKavod. And again, just acknowledging that it's a machlokus between the Tanaim, whether it's the Anani Kavod or Sukkos Mamash, but again, Rashi over here, focusing on the Anani Kavod. Rabbi Zera and Amelo Amre, the other Amorim were unhappy with Rabbi Zera because Ahuli was a Mashiach Udichsev. The Pasuk in Yishayahu that he cited, again, the simple pshat of the Pasuk is it's forecasting what's going to happen in Yemos Mashiach. And it's not talking about Sukkah. And therefore, you cannot derive a halacha regarding the dimensions of the Sukkah from that Pasuk in Yishayahu. Rabbi Zera. Now, Rabbi Zera will counter with the following. Of course you're right. The Pasuk Yeshayahu is talking about the Yemos HaMashiach. However, look at the language that was chosen in that Pasuk. If we're just talking about some sort of shelter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for us, so the Torah could have used the word chuppah, a canopy, so umay v'sukkati el etzal yomam. And meanwhile, it does say a sukkah, so shema min atarte. Just by virtue of the fact that there was a choice that was made, a deliberate choice that was made in terms of the language of the Navi, so it's teaching us also the halach of sukkah as well. And karava nami lo amre, mishum kushit abaye. Now, as far as Rava is concerned, where Rava says that it has to be below 20 amos because by definition it has to be a temporary structure, so the reason why the other Amoraim rejected Rava is because of Abaye's question. Abaye said, oh really? and if I made it, and if I made it under 20 and I made it permanent, you're telling me it's no good? Now again, Rava had an answer to that question, but I guess the Amoraim were not happy with Rava's answer. Okay. So we went through the three Amoraim in terms of what the basis of this halacha is. And now what is left for us to do in today's daf is see the opinions of Amoraim in terms of limiting the machlokas of our Mishnah. We have in our Mishnah machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda in terms of the maximum height of the sukkah for the Tanakama. So it is 20 amos. For Rav Yehuda, there is no limit. Now, that machlokas, so is that an absolute machlokas? Or as we're going to see amongst the Amoraim now, no, it's not an absolute machlokas. Meaning that there are going to be points in time, there are going to be limits in which Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will agree. What are those limits? So let's see. So, and on top of that, not only are we going to talk, now we're going to be limiting the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but then step two, is that we're going to then fit it into any one of the svaras that we discussed. Meaning we discussed three svaras today for the sheet of the Chachamim. So we're going to limit the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, and then we're going to plug in the appropriate svara that explains that limitation. Okay, you'll see. So Kamana is lahad Amrav Yoshi Amrav. So Rav Yoshi Amrav says machlokas, a whole debate in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda is b'shein defanus migias l'schach. That's when the walls are not hitting the schach. Avad defanus migias l'schach, but if the walls are hitting the schach. Now most of the sukkahs that are constructed are where the defanus migias l'schach. But they don't have to. In other words, what you can do, right? In my sukkah, I use my fences as the walls. So it happens to be that my schach is above the walls. So, and there's an airspace that's coming in. Perfectly fine. However, if the defanus megias l'schach, so then afilam asrama makshera. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, who quotes in the name of Rav, that if that were in fact the case, so then we would not be bound by the 20 amma limit. And you can make your sukkah above 20 amos. Okay, now why should that be? So good. So that's the limitation. Now we're going to plug in the svara. Whose svara is he subscribing to? We have three choices on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. So Kaman Karaba. Oh, so we're going to plug in Rabba's svara. Damar Mishim Glo Shalta Be'ena. V'kevin the defanus Megis L'schach Mishal Shalta Be'ena. Right? It's that awareness. But if the walls are now going to be hitting the schach, so you will have that awareness. Meaning that the schach is not just standing there, isolated on top, like hovering above. No, it actually, the walls are hitting the schach. And so therefore, what your eyes are going to do is your eyes are going to follow up the wall and you will have this sense, this awareness that you are under the schach, even if it's above 20 amos. Good. So the first limitation of our Mishnah is that if the walls hit the schach, so then it could be above 20 amos. And that's subscribing to the svara of Rabbah, of Yediyah. That's number one. There's two more to come. Keman az lahadam Rav Huna Rav. So this is now Rav Huna, also quoting Rav. Rashi later on is going to, on today's daf, is going to point out that every one of them is going to be quoting Rav. Okay. The machlokas of the Talmidim, what Rav actually said. Okay. So keman az lahadam Rav Huna Rav. So this is Rav Huna machlokas b'chein ba'el arba amos. Al arba amos. Aval yesh ba'yosem arba amos. Al arba amos. Afilu lamala me'esrim amma. Kishira. If your sukkah is in terms of length and width more than 4 amos, okay, it's a nice size sukkah, right? It's about 8 foot by 8 foot. So if it's more than 8 foot by 8 foot, I'll say it with the amos. If it's more than dal by dal amos, so then there's no longer machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They both would agree that there is no limit to the height of the schach. So now, how does that work? Come on. So that's the limitation. Now we're going to plug it into the svara. Whose svara does this fit in with? So, Karebi Zera, da Amar, Mishum Selu, Vikevin de Revichi, Katzel Sukkah. So it fits in beautifully with Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says that I need the shade of the schach. So if my sukkah now is really wide and it exceeds 4 by 4 amos, so then even if it's higher than 20 amos, I'm now still going to be receiving the shade of the schach. Now again, I know that is an oversimplification. Meaning that if, let's say it is just above 4 by 4 amos, and it's really tall, I don't know, 50 amas, 60 amas, there will, of course, come a point in time where you're no longer receiving the shade of the schach. So I understand that it is a bit of an oversimplification, and it's not an absolute, but nevertheless, the Gemara says that basically, the best svara that explains this limitation is going to be the svara Rebbe Zera. And now number three. Rav Chanan bar Rav, according Rav, so he says like this. What's the minimum dimension of sukkah in terms of length and width? Happens to be we haven't learned it yet. We're learning it right now. And that is that it has to be able to hold your head, the majority of your body, and a tiny table. Later in this paragraph, what we will note, it's about 7x7 tefachim. Okay, that's tiny in terms of length and width. It's not even holding your entire body. It's just holding your head and your upper torso. Your legs are sticking out of it. And on top of that, it's a tiny table of one tefach by one tefach. It's really hard to imagine. It's not even a nightstand. Okay, suffice to say, it's really small. And meanwhile, so according to Rav Chanan bar Rava, once your sukkah exceeds the minimum length and width, so then there's no longer a machlokas between the tanaim. Then the height of the sukkah can go as high as you want. Now, which svara is this following? So the Gemara says, nobody. Kaman de lo kichad. It's not following any of the svaras of the above. As Rashi says, if we're talking about yediya, what difference would it make now that it exceeds the minimum length and width of a sukkah? Shouldn't make a difference. And if it's sell, certainly you're not going to be receiving the sell if it's just a little bit more than Rosh HaVerubo. And if it is a permanent structure versus a temporary structure, well, it doesn't matter that the length and width is just a little bit more than Rosh HaVerubo. If it's higher than 20 amos, there's no way you can make it a temporary structure. Okay.
The first opinion, in terms of the horizon, the size does matter because if it's a larger circuit, then your ability, your visual horizon expands.
So right. Okay, good. I definitely hear you. Again, the Gemara is really giving a bit of a simplified version of each of the positions. But okay, just to give voice to, you know, seeing it and seeing it play out in terms of the halacha. Okay, Tosos over here points out, well, that's really interesting. This third limitation, that of Rav Chanan bar Rava, that if it's anything above Rosh HaVerubo, then your sukkah could be as high as you want, and there's no longer a machlokas. Like, what is the svara for it? Meaning, if it doesn't conform to any one of the three svaras that we mentioned, the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so then what do you have? You have in a position that has no svara to it whatsoever? That's really strange. So Tosos over here suggests, Tosos Kaman the Lokechad, so he suggests that maybe the svara behind the shita is that if your sukkah is just Rosh HaVerubo, 7x7 tefachim, and it's above 20 amos, so it no longer, it's funny, but Tosos says it's a chicken coop, right? It looks like a chicken coop. And it lul shel tarnegolim, says Tosos. And you can't have a structure looking like a chicken coop and calling it a sukkah. Okay, I know it's a funny svara, but right, Tosa says it's we have three svaras that were given on the Amud Aleph, and now that doesn't fall like one of them and like any of them. So okay, so let's give a svara. So Tosa does. Okay, continuing. Kaman Azla, we did Bishlama. Okay, we're halfway down in Beis Amud Beis. And Bishlama the Rabbi Yosha Pliga the Rav Huna of Rav Chanan bar Rava. The Inuka Yavishira Bamashka the Iulo Kayavshira Bamashka. So look, of these three limits that we just learned right now, that of Rabbi Yosha, that of Rav Huna, that of Rav Chanan bar Rava. So I understand that the latter two positions were focused on length and width. And the first position had nothing to do with length and width. So certainly I understand that the first position of Rav Yoshia, is really nothing to do with positions number two and three. And they're really, and it's apples and oranges, and there's just simply no comparison. Fine. But Ela Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rava. But the second and third position. So name a Bechshir Sukkah Kemiflegi. Demarsav Hechshir Sukkah bar Abamos, Demarsav Hechshir Sukkah bar Machzekes, Rosh HaVerubo V'Shochano. Look, they both are focusing on the length and width. What the Gemara now is proposing is, you know, maybe they're debating in terms of what is the minimum dimension of a sukkah vis-a-vis its length and width. Meaning, can't that be the, can it not be that they're arguing about that? The Gemara says, law. No, the Gemara rejects it. No, it happens to be that everyone's in agreement that in terms of the length and width of a sukkah, the minimum is Rosh HaVerubo, approximately 7x7 tefachim. And what the debate is over here is Marsav Machzekes, Rosh of Ruba of Shechana Pligi, Aval Yosem Rosh of Ruba of Shechana Divra Kol Kshera. It just happens to be that according to the third limitation, that of Rav Chanan Bar Abba, any time that your sukkah is above the minimum length and width of Rosh of Ruba, so then there's no longer a machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Umar suffered me Rosh of Ruba of Shechana Adal Amos Pligi, Aval Yosem Adal Amos Divra Kol Kshera. And it happens to be that Rav Huna would tell you that no, that if you're anywhere between Rosh HaVeruba, 7x7, Tfachim, to Dalet Amos, that's the Machlokas of the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But once it is greater than Dalet Amos, so then there's no longer Machlokas. That's all. Okay. Meitzvei. So now, on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we were given three limits to in terms of when Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim would no longer argue and when they would agree. The Gemara now wants to know, of the three that were just given, which one of them fits in best with a brisa that we're going to learn together, Meisvei. So we are starting with a brisa. Sukashi gavola malam esramam apsula Rav Yehuda machshir ad arba'im v'chamishim ama. Okay. So first of all, the brisa over here reintroduces us to the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakama says the schach cannot exceed 20 amas high, and Rav Yehuda says it could be 40 amas, it could be 50 amas. Now that loose language over there would seem to indicate that he doesn't really care. Just gives out the numbers 40 and 50 because, you know, it really hard to imagine that your schach is going to exceed 50 amos. That's 100 amos, it's 100 feet in the air, approximately. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Now that part of the brisa is a setup because now the back and forth between them. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Behilni Amaka Balud. So there was a story with Hilni Amaka. Hilni Amaka, she was a queen that lived sometime during Baisheni. I have no more historical information for her. However, she got turned on to Yiddishkeit, and she became fully observant, and I assume also a Gioris as well, and so on Sukkah she sent a Sukkah, so and keep in mind she was a queen, so Shahaisa Sukkah Gavoas Me Esra Mama, so and her Sukkah again she lived large, and so her Sukkah was really large. Higher than 20 amas. So, and meanwhile, she was visited by the Chachamim all the time. Okay. And they never protested. And Amru lo Misham Raya. So the Chachamim turned to Rav Yehuda and said, look, first of all, it's anecdotal. And on top of that, that's not a proof. Isha Isa Patur Min HaSukkah. Hiloni Amalka, she's a woman. Women are exempt from Sukkah. The mitzvah sukkah is the mitzvah sesei shazman gram. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Now, again, with every rule, there are exceptions, but this is a rule. This is not the exception. So over here, the chachamim didn't protest. They didn't eat with her. They visited her. She was sitting in a sukkah that wasn't kosher. Okay, so what? Women can eat in their house on sukkahs. It's fine. So amar lahen v'alo shiva banim havala. So counter argument, says Rav Yehuda. You know, she had children, 7 in total. And on top of that, she always listened to the Chachamim. Now, that last detail over there, why was that included? So the Gemara gives us a really interesting reason why. So, Hachi Kamerluhu. Ki Somer Banim Ketanim, Hayu Ketanim Peturim in a Sukkah. So the Gemara says, now, what you'll tell me is that, look, she's Peturah from the Sukkah, and her children are still very young, and there's not even a mitzvah of Chinuch yet. So Kevin de Shiva Havu, but she had 7 of them. So that means that one is at least 7 years of age, which means that he's a bar chinuch in terms of the mitzvah of sukkah. And vechisem rukatan chain of sarach liimo midrabananu, demechayev, viihi bidraban la mishkacha. And now what are you going to tell me? Well, it's a mitzvah of chinuch. Mitzvah of chinuch is not a mitzvah darais, it's a mitzvah darabanan. That's why the brace at the end tells me, tashma ve'od komasel oasa ela api chachamim. Oh yeah, but the kol maaseha that all of her actions are done apicha chamim. Okay, and so even though the mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah derabanan, okay, she was fully on board with Yiddishkeit. She followed the raisas. She followed the rabbanans as well. Okay, so that was all. Now that's the conclusion of the brisa with just the smoothing out that last wrinkle of why at the end of the brisa did it have to tell me that she listened to everything. Okay, good. Now we understand. Just as a really interesting aside, what comes out clearly from our Gemara over here, the mitzvah of chinuch is not only going on the father, it's going on the mother as well. Now that's kind of intuitive, and if you had to guess, you probably would have said that as well. And in fact, practically speaking, who is doing the majority of chinuch in the house? It's mom. So it's intuitive. However, there is what to discuss in terms of whether the formal mitzvah of chinuch is going on the father or it's also going on the mother as well. There's much to discuss on that topic, but we're just going to go on because we're going to finish the daf. Gemara's assuming singletons, and also, you know, it's another funny observation.
You've had seven kids.
I know. I'm aware. So am I aware. And also, where's dad? Okay.
I don't know, dad. We never hear.
No. Okay. Now all this brings us to a point, and now let's make the Gemara's point. Look, here's what we know. There was this massive sukkah by Hiloni and Malka. We know Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim argued about said sukkah. So now, if we say that if we go with the first limitation that we saw today, and that is that when the defunders are not Megillas Schach, so they're going to be debating. So the Gemara says, great. Our b'risa makes all the sense in the world. So darker shamaka leishay besukah shein defanos megillas l'schach. So this we're just going to have to accept the Gemara because what do we know? But the queens when they make their sukkah, so they make it so that it's airy, and the schach is going to be above the walls. So now certainly we understand why they're debating. Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Mishum avira. So fine. So it works out wonderfully for the first. For the first limits of Rav Yoshia. Good. The Brisa checks. But Elamanda Rabbi Sukkah Katana Machlokes. But if you're going to tell me that they're arguing about Sukkah Katana, so which happens to be the opinions both of Rav Huna and Rav Chanan Bar Rabba. So it's not perfectly clear right now if the Gemara is only talking about Rav Huna or it's also talking about if it's talking about Rav Chanan Bar Rabba and it's also talking about Rav Huna, but regardless. If you're telling me that a sukkah, once it exceeds a certain length and width, there's no longer a debate, so the Gemara says, based on the story that we just learned together, we don't make any sense of the story whatsoever. A queen is not in a small sukkah. The queen's sukkah is going to be large. And so, the question is certainly going to be going on Rav Chanan Bar Rabba, but presumably it's also going to be going on Rav Huna as well. So why is Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim arguing about that sukkah? Meaning, according to these Amoraim, once the sukkah is a sukkah gedola, there's no longer a debate. But meanwhile, we just saw a brisa, we just saw presumably this massive sukkah, and meanwhile, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are debating over said sukkah. So that's a problem. So Amarava Baravada lo nitzucha ela l'sukkah asuya kitonios. So the Gemara says, well, the sukkah was massive, but also it was segregated. It actually was broken up into smaller rooms. So the Gemara says, "V'chi daka shamacha shamacha leisha besukah asuya kitonis kitonios." Really, and the queen's going to be sitting in such a sukkah? She's going to be making such a sukkah for herself? Again, the assumption is it's a really large edifice. So Amar Avashi lo nitzucha ela lekitonios sheba. So the Gemara says, "No, this sukkah basically had a main room to it, and then abutting the main room, you had these smaller cubicles within the sukkah." Now. The Gemara goes on to explain. So the way the Chachamim see this picture now, so where is Hiloni Amalka? Tucked away in one of the cubicles. She's a woman of Snius. She's not in the main area of the Sukkah. Where are her sons who have the mitzvah of Chinuch and need to be sitting in a Kasher Sukkah? So they're going to be in the main. Ah, okay. That's the Chachamim. And that's why, that's how the Chachamim explains why it is that when the Zakenim came in to visit her, they didn't say anything. Cause there's no problem. She's sitting in a non-kosher part of the sukkah. That's fine. The kids are sitting in the kosher part of the sukkah. That's great. Okay. Rav Yehuda sav, Rabbanah, Gabba, Havayasvei, Ve'afilah, Hachilah, Amr, Ladavar. And Rav Yehuda would say, no. Where were her sons? Her sons were with her in the non-kosher section of the sukkah. Right? Which means, of course, that it's not non-kosher. Meaning that Rav Yehuda is arguing, you see, I'm right. It's kosher. The Zakenim didn't say anything to her. And that's Rav Yehuda's version. So it boils down to, a question of where were her kids sitting, with her or in the main part. And if they're sitting with sitting in the main part, that would be a nod to Shitas Chachamim. If they're sitting with her, that's a nod to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, we saw a Mishnah introducing us to the mitzvah of sukkah, giving us basic halachas regarding dimensions of the sukkah, maximum height, minimum height, number of walls, and tzchach, the four halachas that we learned. On the Amud Aleph today, we did two things. Number one, comparing our Mishnah to the Mishnah in Erevin. The Mishnah in Erevin gives us a similar halacha when it comes to Korah. The Korah cannot exceed 20 amas high. How come the Mishnah over there says Yimat, lower it? Our Mishnah over here could have said Yimat, but doesn't say it. Simply says Psula, it's no good. What's the difference? The Gemara gave us two differences between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in Erevin. Second thing that we did in the Amud Aleph, what's the svar behind Shitas Chachamim that your schach cannot exceed 20 amas? There are three svaras that are given amongst the Amoraim. Rabba, Laman Yedu. You have to have the sense of awareness that you're in a sukkah. Rebbe Zeira, you have to be Betzel Haschach. And Rava says that your sukkah has to be a temporary structure, or at least has the possibility of being a temporary structure. Once your schach is exceeding 20 amas high, so it no longer can be a temporary structure, by definition, it has to be permanent. On the Amud Beis, so first we covered why each of the Amoraim are not in favor of the other Amora, and then what we did is that we went through three limits in terms of the limits of the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And limit number one is that if the walls hit the schach, no longer Machlokas. Limit number two, if your sukkah exceeds 4x4 amas, no longer Machlokas. Limit number three is that if your sukkah exceeds Rosh HaVerubo, there's no longer Machlokas. That third one is tricky. What's the svara behind the third one? The Gemara acknowledges none of the above, meaning none of the Amud Aleph Amorayim. In terms of the svar for number one, he's holding Shalta Be'ene. The svar for number two, Tzel Schach. And then finally, the last thing that we did is that we went through the episode with Hiloni Amaka and her sukkah. The Chachamim and Rav Yehuda are arguing about that particular sukkah in terms of whether or not it would support their positions. Now, was that a sukkah where the defunus made it to the schach? No. So for the first limitation, it makes perfect sense. Was it a small sukkah? Hard to imagine. She's a queen. So the Gemara comes down to the fact that it was a large sukkah, but there were cubicles off to the side. She for sure was in the cubicle because of tznius. And then a question of where were her sons who were higia legil chinuch? They were at the age of chinuch. So where were they sitting, with her or in the main component?